Good morning.
Good morning.
Since I belong to a Christian academic community, I want to give credit where credit is due. The Colorado Springs Catechesis class had a great hand in helping with this message. We all brainstormed together. They had so many creative ideas. So shout out to that learning community. My dad worked for General Motors, and he worked hard. He woke my sister and me up every day for school, but by 6 a.m., he was pulling out of the driveway. That man was never late to anything. Maybe that's one of the reasons that I have such fond memories of my dad staying home from work to fix my high school girlfriends a big breakfast. One weekday every spring, I set the table while Dad cooked eggs to order, pancakes, bacon, and fried potatoes. He interrupted his responsible adult routine, set time aside normally that he spent on the job, and hosted seven gangly girls to a morning feast. It was an exception to the rule, which made that annual event with my dad, well, exceptional. I can count just on one hand the number of times my girlfriends and I sat at Dad's breakfast table. Still, I caught a glimpse of something there, or maybe someone. Continuing with this year's theme, let's see if we can catch a glimpse of the abiding nature of God. Neither God's availability nor his desire to be with us suffer from any limitations at all. Regardless of our distractions, reluctance, or maybe even excuses, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are waiting with us. They are waiting on us. They've saved us a seat at the kitchen table. Will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, truth divine, dawn upon these souls of ours, word of God and inward light, wake our spirits, clear our sight. Amen. The Old Testament gives us so many rich examples of an abiding God making his home with a people. For 40 years, God's people wake up to manna, breakfast, every single day. This God-provided meal is so much better than those boxes some people order that come with weekly stash of food. And then quail for dinner. Moses, Aaron, and 70-plus elders are invited to climb Mount Sinai. It's a holy climb to eat a covenant meal in the presence of God. God initiated so many feasts and festivals that went throughout the year. Special occasions where people gathered around the table, eating and remembering God's faithfulness. These holy assemblies are described in Leviticus, everybody's favorite book, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, First Harvest, and Harvest. The Feast of Trumpets, where no ordinary work is done, and just a few days later, everyone observes a Day of Atonement, making the people right with God. The Feast of Shelters, or Tabernacles, celebrating God's faithfulness in the wilderness. A weekly Sabbath day, a Sabbath year, where people would rest in God and rest with God. year of Jubilee, canceled debts, freedom. God intentionally weaves these patterns and practices into the community's daily life. It's almost as if God wants to be with his people all the time. The Gospels give us examples of an abiding God living with the disciples. As Michael Card sings, the manna became man. Jesus became our daily bread. And after 3 years of numerous meals together, hundreds, Jesus hosts the Last Supper, where Passover burst into the new covenant. Two weary travelers along the road are joined by a third, and when he breaks the bread, they see clearly. The word is so near. It's on their lips and in their burning hearts. After his resurrection, Jesus, forgiveness, and eventually breakfast are waiting for the disciples on the beach. And Christ speaks of a future banquet described in Revelation. Pentecost brings examples of God living in his followers through the Holy Spirit. But before then, Jesus does everything he can to help the disciples understand who he is sending to them. The Holy Spirit, Father, Son, they will make their home in Christ followers. John 14, 23 is especially intimate. All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. You and I are no longer required to scale Mount Sinai. We don't have to eat unleavened bread or even show up in the upper room to experience God's presence. This is the abiding nature of God. It's steady, reliable, constant. Meanwhile, you and I are meeting ourselves coming and going more than we're meeting God. An always abiding God waits on an often absent people. Jesus tells a parable about a man hosting a banquet. Now, these stories have so many layers of meaning and interpretation, and this might be a little non-traditional lens that we're looking through, but still, I consulted our beloved local biblical scholars. They helped me understand that the people refusing to attend the banquet offer some pretty flimsy excuses, and anybody listening to Jesus would know it. Customarily, people were notified weeks and weeks before a big event like this. The final invite just signals that everything's ready. The food is spread out, it's warm, the musicians are in place, it's time. The person who just bought some land, they would have surveyed it before they made the purchase. Oxen? No one buys livestock without checking it out, trying it out beforehand. The newlyweds? They would have known months before this event. It wouldn't be a problem to schedule it. But they all send their regrets. They just don't show up. Enter Plan B. The people sitting around the host tables look quite different than those who were on the first guest list. Nobody even sees them, let alone invites them anywhere. Can you imagine their disbelief, their joy, their gratitude? This important person invited us to his house and saved us a seat at his table? Extraordinary. As usual, in getting ready to share a message, I have experienced part of this parable in my own life. This happens to me every time. I don't care what the topic is, something ridiculous will happen to me as I am preparing. This time it waited until yesterday. I was home working on the message, and it was early. I was supposed to host a women's Bible study tomorrow night, and we always have supper together. When the weather gets cold, I often love to do breakfast for dinner. So Monday night, I made the egg casserole, and I cut up the fruit. Tuesday morning, I went all out. I cleaned the guest bathroom, okay? We were especially excited about getting together because one of the women in our group had moved away last year, but she was going to come back in town, and we were really, really excited to see her. First text, it's Nancy. Guys, I am so sorry. We thought we could come, but something's come up, and we're not going to make it to Lexington now. Ding, 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 right after that, everyone. You know, if Nancy's not going to be there, I don't think I'm going to come. You know, it's awful cold outside, and it was cold, and to be fair, you need to know the average age of this group is about 77. Let's factor that in. There's no blame here. By the time I read all my texts, everybody had said, I'm not coming. Do you get it? I had food ready. Everybody canceled. I just sat there and laughed. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. I cleaned the bathroom. So I took my cue from this parable. I invited some other friends over. We had a great time. But I struggled. I struggled sitting down and just being still, getting ready for worship today. I've had a busy semester, so is everybody else. I've traveled a lot. I'm a little weary, so is everybody else. But my whole nervous system had just kicked into overdrive. I couldn't settle my mind down, my body down, to abide with God as I'm working on a message about abiding with God. The whole world vies for our attention. I hope you know that you and I are the commodity of the day. Our attention is. That's what's being sold to YouTube and Instagram and TikTok, news feeds, you name it. If we're feeling brave or desperate, and sometimes it's hard to know the difference, we might invite some friends, go through the process of taking an inventory. What is grabbing our attention these days? Our focus, our time, money, energy, our brain space, our affections. You might have noticed, God rarely grabs anybody. He abides. Maybe it's not the distractions for you, but a little bit of distrust, maybe a little fear. I mean, that's understandable. Banquets can go really badly when they're hosted by human beings. King Xerxes dethrones Queen Vashti because she won't parade herself up and down around a bunch of drunk men. Herod's foolish pride leads to the death of John the Baptist. But these aren't the hosts we're talking about today. God is not our enemy. God is the one preparing a feast for us in the presence of our enemies. Perfect love wants to make a home in our hearts and our entire lives. I'm not convinced it's up to us to solve these struggles that we have. After all, working really hard to abide kind of misses the point. Extra effort? No. Maybe, Maybe our part is as simple as showing up or opening a door. My sister wrote a poem years ago after she had done some meditating on a verse in Revelation 3:20. Here's Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of that verse. Look at me. I stand at the door. I knock. If you hear me call and open the door, I'll come right in and sit down to supper with you. And so after reading that, my sister wrote this poem called The Choice. My door is old, walnut, I think, and well cared for, with a small window at eye level. There are flowers framing it. I've taken great pains to make the exterior presentable. It opens only from the inside. He knocks, calls my name, smiles, and waits patiently. I hesitate, afraid he'll bring change, and so I just watch him through the window. My fear begins to melt away, and I feel bolder. He says, I'm not asking you to conquer the world. I just want to have supper with you. There's no judgment in his eyes, no hidden agenda, only love and acceptance. He wants to spend time with me? I take a deep breath and open the door. There he stands with a loaf of bread, a bottle of wine, and a bouquet of brightly colored flowers. Why did I keep him waiting for so long? Why indeed? Maybe you're afraid to open the door. Or maybe I've convinced myself that doing things for God is the same thing as being with God. Perhaps you've shimmied up a tree. You're just squinting for a glimpse, wondering if Jesus wants to spend time with you. Hear this joyful response from the Lord. Quick, Zacchaeus, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Let's try it again. Put your name in the place of Zacchaeus. Quick, Ellen. Quick, Caleb, Jacob, Chris, Lindsay, Ruth Ann. Quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. We belong to an abiding God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The table's set. Looks like there's plenty of room. But it gets better. God has saved us a seat. This time, let's not send our regrets. Let's taste and see that the Lord is good.